Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide episodes 3 days a week for now, Tuesdays, Thursdays, on Fridays, under normal circumstances with baseball, you know, like a regular season and not this delay. This is a daily show Monday through Friday. And when we last spoke, we were on the cusp of hearing an announcement from Major League Baseball that the 2020 season would get played and announced. The holdup was that the players had yet to agree to the health and safety protocols. But as we suspected later that night, on Tuesday night, the players did in fact announce that all protocols had been agreed to and they were ready to report to spring training on July 1st. So here we are, it's June 25th, and July 1st is now less than a week away. That's Wednesday next week. So this all comes against the backdrop of continued coronavirus outbreaks in the United States and in the baseball world as well. Just yesterday, there were more than 36,000 new cases in the U.S., which was the single day high for this entire pandemic for any country. So things are not going well in the United States fight against this pandemic. And so, you know, baseball happening against this backdrop is a little bit absurd. And it's hard for me to imagine, to be honest, like how this is going to go well, especially with all the reported cases we're seeing currently across baseball. There have been numerous players who have tested positive just within the last week or two, including Charlie Blackmon of the Rockies, who becomes the most high-profile player that we know of to test positive, and we learned of that on Tuesday or Wednesday. Many players who have tested positive and staff and coaches reportedly were not experiencing symptoms, but we also don't know all the details of everyone who has tested positive. So for all we know, I mean, the thing is, if this spreads in a huge way throughout the game, then somebody's bound to get severely ill. And I just don't know how much the sport is willing to tolerate when it comes to COVID-19. But, you know, the players are allowed to opt out and they do not have to do this. I don't know. I'm assuming that's true for coaches as well. And honestly, the coaches and the managers might be people to worry about more because of their age. Older people are more at risk, and there's a lot of older managers and coaches out there. And it just seems like a real risk, especially with the way the United States is going right now with this virus. You know, a lot of other countries are seeing, you know, cases in the hundreds per day right now. In the United States yesterday at 36,000 plus. And we're seeing outbreaks, hotspots in a lot of places where baseball is to be played, including in California and including in the Bay Area right now. So, you know, all of this baseball talk that we're going to continue to do, and I'm really excited about baseball. I'm not someone who was saying, I just want them to cancel the season. But it also seemed like we were trending in the right direction when we started to talk about bringing baseball back. But now we are not trending in the right direction. We're going in the opposite direction. And I think we need to turn that around. Otherwise, baseball might prove to be impossible to play. So we did get reports about the health and safety protocols, Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellich, with an article in The Athletic called 12 Questions About the Return of Baseball in 2020. They outlined some of the health and safety protocols. They obtained the full 100-plus page document and report on some of it. And it's thorough. I mean, players are going to be tested at least every other day. They're going to be tested for antibodies regularly, blood tests for that. There's going to be a 3 or 4 day pre-screening process before spring training. They're going to have their temperatures checked twice a day. But at the same time, I mean, all it takes is one slip up and you have the potential for team-wide contamination, given, you know, the nature of the sport and close quarters and clubhouses. You know, we're seeing all these outbreaks from guys who are just, you know, working out at either the home stadiums or the spring training facilities of these teams, and they're having outbreaks there, and presumably they were doing a lot to try to prevent that. I guess maybe they weren't testing on site, which is now going to be part of the deal here. So that might be one big difference. But still, it's just hard to imagine this going flawlessly. But that being said, I think that the league and teams expect a certain amount of positive tests. So if that happens, I mean, I think it may be hard to avoid a whole team or like many players on a team at once getting exposed. And do we just carry on if that's the case? And what if people get very severely ill? And what if, you know, there are some deaths in Major League Baseball? So these are definitely valid questions as we barrel forward with the spring training set to begin on July 1st, less than a week from now, and the season set to begin in less than a month on July 23rd and 24th. So anyway, I do want to talk more about the excitement of baseball returning, just kind of assuming things will go fairly well and assuming things will proceed as planned. So just to kind of tease the topics that we'll talk about in the second half of the show, there's another Yasiel Puig to the Giants rumor. And what we also know is that roster transactions will finally be unfrozen Friday morning, tomorrow morning, at 6 a.m. Pacific time. And so the latest on Yasiel Puig comes from a tweet from Jim Bowden, who says, quote, "Giants expecting to be players for outfielder Yasiel Puig as soon as freeze is lifted, according to sources close to the Giants front office." So finally, the roster freeze being undone. I think we may see a little bit of activity, and the Giants seem like probably, if I had to put a favorite, you know, obviously take the field over one individual team, but if I had to pick one individual team, it does seem like the Giants are the most likely team to sign Yasiel Puig. So I want to talk more about that and also just more about the Giants and how they're going to approach this unique baseball season in the second half of the show. And now I want to talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is a delicious tasting protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And most importantly to me, it's great for the health conscious person. Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber, exactly what you're looking for. The mint brownie bars have 15 grams of protein, just 110 calories, and 4 grams of sugar. Peanut butter brownie has 20 grams of protein, just 170 calories, and just 3 grams of sugar. I can't understand how they're able to make these bars taste like candy bars with such a low sugar content. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. Okay, as promised, here in the second half of the show, I want to talk more about this latest Yasiel Puig to the Giants rumor, why it makes sense, and then some more odds and ends about the Giants in this bizarre season. We'll talk more about the details of the agreed to season as well. So yeah, there was a report in April from a BBWAA member, Baseball Writers Association of America. So not just some guy, but a legitimate writer about baseball, saying that he hears Yasiel Puig is close to agreeing to sign with the San Francisco Giants. He added that there may be an option year as well. So this came when rosters were frozen and the Giants were not allowed to be talking to free agents. And so, you know, it's a little bit suspicious that that came out during that period of time. And it leads me to believe that they possibly were breaking the rules and communicating with Yasiel Puig, potentially bending the rules and having somebody else talk to him. I don't know exactly what it was, but that seems like a possibility. And then this Bowden tweet just makes me feel like that report was real and that Puig to the Giants is the most likely scenario if I had to pick one team. So part of the new implemented season is that there is going to be a designated hitter in the National League. And so beforehand, when there were 26-man rosters and no designated hitter, we talked about how Yasiel Puig wasn't necessarily the best fit, even though he would add talent to the roster. It was hard to understand exactly where he would fit in their somewhat crowded outfield mix, considering the fact that he historically has reverse platoon splits, meaning he's been significantly better against right-handed pitching, which is unusual for a right-handed hitter. So you can think of him kind of as a left-handed hitter, where the Giants already have Mike Yastrzemski and Alex Dickerson. I guess you could go with an all, quote, lefty outfield against right-handed pitching with maybe Yastrzemski in center, Dickerson in left, and Puig in right. That actually is an intriguing possibility, but then it pushed out someone like Mauricio Dubon out of the outfield in that scenario. You know, I'm kind of second-guessing what I said earlier. I think that actually would be an intriguing outfield against righties. I mean, there's some talent in that outfield. Dickerson, Yastrzemski, Puig, that's not a bad outfield. And the Giants, you know, in years past have had really bad outfields, but that wouldn't really be one of them. That is an outfield with some upside. But anyway, with the designated hitter, it just makes even more sense because you're going to have the ability to, you know, if there was an odd man out, you just put him in the DH spot. It's just kind of a no-brainer. But that being said, other teams, every other National League team also now has a DH spot. And so in theory, Puig may be more sought after now than he was before. So as we expected too, it is going to be a 60-game season. And I just want to point out that this does wonders to the Giants' playoff odds. We speculated about the season length all throughout this pandemic, but now we know 60 games, and that means the Giants' playoff odds went up kind of dramatically. Most of the sites had their playoff odds near zero. I kind of beg to differ on that a little bit and would say that I think they're better than a lot of these projection systems think they are. And I think it has to do with they're kind of better than the sum of their parts in a way because they have a lot of guys who have a specific skill. Like, you know, it's not that complicated. They're going to do a lot of platooning. And I think the projections aren't really taking that into account. They're just saying, like, who is Hunter Pence? Who is Alex Dickerson in general? But if you look at who is Alex Dickerson against just right-handed pitching and not at all against lefties, it's a much different story, a much different story. And so if you can just get that advantage every time, have him pretty much only play against righties, do the same against Pence, but against lefties, you get a lot better production than if you just look at who are they in general when you combine those two things. And then on the pitching side, they're going to do the same thing as well. It's easy to say, like, who is Drew Smyly over 7 innings? But it's different to say, who is he over 3 or 4 innings? It might be a very different story, given the type of pitcher that he is. And the same goes with Kevin Gausman. And, you know, they're just going to match up and mix and match and utilize depth and platoons to no end. And I think that gives them a better shot than a lot of projection systems account for, because it would take a lot of effort to go in and make those adjustments manually to see how that would play out. But anyway, despite that, the shortened season gives them a much better chance for two reasons. Number one, you know, any kind of little hot streak like they had in the middle of the year last year, and you're in great position to make the postseason. You don't have enough time to regress back to your true talent. If you overperform for a couple weeks, then you can underperform and still not miss the postseason because there's not enough games. The other factor is thinking about how teams on the top won't have enough time to separate themselves as much as they normally would. So like the Dodgers end up winning the division by like 20, 30, 40 games every year. They won't have the time to do that. So it'll be a lot narrower. So even if you're trailing the Dodgers, even if you are, you know, at 500 and they're 8, 9 games over 500, you're only 3, 4, 5 games back, maybe entering September. And like I said, you can go on a little run and you can make up those games. So anyway, that's all the time we have for now. I think tomorrow it's going to get really interesting with rosters being unfrozen. We heard reports, I think, from Jason Stark a couple weeks ago that teams may be looking to unload contracts now to deal with the financial burden that they're going to experience without fans. And so teams may be more willing now than they were in the normal offseason to like trade a prospect in order to get rid of a contract which is something the Giants were trying to do, and they did with Will Wilson, Zach Cozart in the Angels trade. But, you know, we heard they weren't done doing that type of deal, but then nothing materialized. But now it's possible that that could come to fruition. So I do expect the Giants to be among the most active teams, because under Farhan Zaidi, that's just going to be the case from here on out. So, you know, that's another possibility as well, in addition to free agent possibilities like Puig. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember, to get this show 3 days a week, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Kaspic. That's K-A-S-P-I-C-K. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On Fantasy Baseball. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.